Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord have made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture say, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Yes, you and you, let us exalt the wonderful name of Jesus together. On today, we have another glorious lesson on today, and I'm so glad that you have joined me, all of my friends that are near and abroad. We want to say I am so excited about you and what God is doing in and through your lives and the new doors that he will open and the ways that he is going to make. On today, our lesson is going to be trusting God in time of trouble. And our scripture reference is going to be found over in Psalms 56. And we're going to be reading verses number 1 through verse number 13, along with Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 1 through 4, as well as Hebrews chapter 4, verses number 15. So let's take a look at our scripture for today. It reads on this line, and we will start with our main scripture, which is Psalms 56, verses 1 through 6. It said, be merciful unto me, O God, for man will swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. My enemies will daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrestle with my word. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thy anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings, and puttest thou my tears into thy bottle. And are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemy turn back. This I know, for God is for me. And in God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? That's Psalms 56. Now let's take a look over at Deuteronomy, chapter number 20, verses 1 through verse number 4. And it reads on this line, Deuteronomy chapter number 20. And I'm going to put you on hold for just one moment. It looked and appeared as though that we may have lost connection, and I want to reconnect with those that perhaps are not connected right now. And so if you can bat me for just one moment as we get reconnected here. And bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. We bless him from the rising of the sun until the going down the same. His name shall be praised, and his name is Jesus, wonderful Savior, mighty Counselor, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Oh, Shalom, and we worship your name until we get connected back again with your people. We worship you and we praise you and we lift your holy name up because you alone is worthy and you alone deserving all the praise, glory, and honor from everlasting to everlasting. Lord, we are going to praise your name because you alone is worthy of all the praise, glory, and honor. Okay, children of God, it looked like we are connected back together. I tell you, we're going to just take this moment, we're going to pray, and we're going to bind the forces of darkness that will come up against everything that God is doing. And so, Father, we just come right now and we take this time and we bind the devil. We bind the forces of darkness in the name of the Lord Jesus that want to impede and to stop your word from going forth on today. And we say no weapon formed against us is going to ever, ever prosper. And Father, we thank you, dear God, because you're such a good, good God, a God worthy of the praise, glory, and honor. And we take authority over the airway. And we plead the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth over this connection, over the airways, and that the word will get to your listeners and hearers. And we command wickedness and evilness to be bound in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we cast it out and send it back to the pit from whence it came. And we speak to the electrical systems, technology, to act right and perform like you have been ordained to perform on this line. And we thank you in Jesus' name, amen. And so I want to say welcome back to my listeners. And we're at this time, we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter number 20, verses number 1 through verse number 4. And it reads on this line, Deuteronomy 20, when thou goest out to battle against thy enemy and seest horses and chariots and people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be when ye are come nigh unto the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto the battle against your enemy. Let not your heart faint. Fear not, and be not tremble, neither be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you. Oh, my, my, my. Let's look at another scripture. And that's going to be Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15. It says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, my God, my God. Truly, he is a wonderful Savior and a gracious God. Now, let's take a look today at our lesson. And our lesson text is talking about trusting God in times of trouble. When in trouble or even in despair or desperation, God is still our refuge. And we can trust him and praise him. And our focus verse for today is, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. So far, the word of the Lord. Let's look at our lesson. As negative as the phrase is full of trouble and born unto trouble may sound that they are true of the earthly experiences of mankind, most people enjoy many wonderful experiences in life, and some are richly blessed, but all people experience life's trouble. And we can find that scripture over in Job chapter 14, verses 1. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Also Job 5 and 7, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks flies upward. It is unrealistically negative for a person to say that he will only experience trouble in life, but it is realistic and true that he or she will suffer their share of life's difficulties and challenges. Now, some of the trouble that we go through is of our own making as a result of unwise choices. There also are troubles that come from Satan, designed to attack and to try to discourage us. But much of our trouble comes from the enemy and people and spirit posed against us because of righteousness. When a person experiences difficulty, they are tempted to think that they are the only one having trouble. But let no one think that they are alone in their trouble. Everyone, regardless of their station or stature in life, suffers trouble. No one is exempt from trouble. Now, we will study how David faced his enemy and kept the right attitude and trusted in the Lord. He enumerated their things against him, but he did not spend all his time talking about how bad things were. He reminded himself that God knew all about him, about his enemies and his trouble. Moreover, when all of these trying things were happening to him, he trusted in God. Now, David knew the secret to victory, and that's what we want to talk about the secret unto the blessed victory on today. Now, trusting and praising God is the way and the vehicle unto our victory. Let's look further. Victory does not come only through proper preparation for the battle and outnumbering the enemy in soldiers or weapons or outsmarting the enemy. David knew the secret to victory was relying entirely on the Lord to bring the victory. It was not difficult for him to praise the Lord. Let us learn from this lesson to trust the Lord and to put all our trouble into his hands. Now, trusting God in the time of trouble is our answer to complete victory. Now, let's take a look at David here. Let's look at point one, swallowed up by our enemies. Whether we like it or not, whether we know it or not, we have enemies. And Jesus said, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you," Luke 6:26. He also said that we will be hated by the world. And we'll see that over in John 15, verses 18 through verse 20. Because we are on the side of righteousness, we have enemies. For Satan and all his forces of unrighteousness opposes us, the child of God. There is no neutrality in this conflict of life. A person is either on the side of righteousness or they're not. There are some people who do not choose to walk with the Lord, yet they often defend the way of righteousness. Unfortunately, if a person does not devote their life to the Lord Jesus Christ and to live for him, they unintentionally align themselves with unrighteousness. That places them squarely on the wrong side. Now let's look at the oppression is daily. When we look at Psalms 56, verse 1, he said, "He fighting daily oppresses me." Also, verse number 2, "My enemy would daily swallow me up." The intermittent opposition is bad enough, but Satan opposes the believer daily. Not content to attack neutrally or just monthly or to just worry someone weekly, Satan tries to destroy daily. His oppression of the believer is a daily task. Because we are attacked daily, we need to fight daily. Anyone who is attacked daily but does not fight daily will be utterly be defeated. We must fight as much as the enemy attacks. Technically, if we resist with the same amount with which the enemy come and attack us, we will only hold our ground. In other words, we must resist Satan with more force than that which he is fighting against us, not only to avoid backsliding, but also to gain total victory. We also must understand that Satan launches offenses much like an army. Since he is not omnipresent, it is not possible for him to attack everyone all the time except through his special agents and demons. For this reason, at times when we feel much more oppressed than other times. Now let's take a look a little further here, at as we look at this particular Psalms, the sources are many. For they be many that fight against me. That's what Psalm 56 and 2 state. A believer's enemy are a merit, as if it is not a great number that we can see. It is a great number that we cannot see. Whether visible or invisible, they be many that fight against me. Consequently, our conflict is complicated. In our enemy, if our enemy was only one in number, it would not be nearly as difficult to go to battle and enjoy victory. But to battle an enemy on many fronts spreads our human resources thin and increases our need for more surveillance and spiritual weapons. The enemy attacks low and high, with frontal and flanks, with rear assaults. He attacks in the dark and in the light, and he comes with noise of an open attack, and he comes silently in secret to surprise us. Moreover, Paul revealed in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14 that Satan is transformed into an angel of light. We must always be watchful lest we be deceived. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11. It said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Ephesians 6 and 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The Apostle Paul was cautious. The devil goeth about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5 and 8. The verse begins, be sober, be vigilant. To be vigilant means to keep awake and to watch. Whether Satan comes as an angel of light or as a roaring lion, we need to be alert and watching so that we are able to recognize our enemies and what he is doing. Further, let us look here. Trust in God and resist fear. It is natural for a human to be afraid. Fear is a normal human response to danger. We should not feel defeated when we experience fear. God designed us to have some fear, for fear is a feeling of anxiety or agitation felt at the presence of fear. But according to Timothy verses 1 and 7, he has not given us the spirit of fear. Moreover, we are not to allow fear to paralyze and torment us. Although it is natural to be afraid, it is beneficial to resist fear. To resist fear is beneficial to a non-believer, but is even more beneficial and vital to the believer. Through faith, the believer has the power to resist fear. Consequently, we should not allow fear to govern us. Let us rather exercise our spiritual weapons and resist fear through faith. No person believes without conquering faith. And so our greatest weapon is faith, believing God that he is. Fear requires resistance. Some resistance slightly, which represents little more than stating which side that they're on, while others resist so strongly that everything that they have is dedicated to resistance. Now let's look further. Life presents to us two choices. And let's look at these choices, whether we believe in God or not, or whether we are a Christian or not. The two choices can be summarized in two words, for or against. If we trust in God and walk with him, we are members of the resistance. If we are for him, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Conversely, if we are not living for Jesus Christ, we are automatically a part of the opposition or against God. The term resist means to oppose actively, to fight, to work against, to refuse to cooperate. And such as it is, children of God, you must refuse to cooperate with fear, and you must oppose the activity of fear, and you must fight against fear and work against fear. And not let fear conquer you or your heart, mind, and soul and not yield to it. Therefore, to resist fear is to actively engage in constant conflict with fear, never allowing it to get the upper hand. Though in human realm it is normal to experience fear, in the spiritual realm it is necessary always to resist it and place our trust in God. Now let's take a look at trusting in God and look at some of the ramifications about trusting God. And we want to put you on hold again for just a moment, because it seems as though the adversary really don't want this lesson to go forth, because we are again experiencing some technical difficulty with our switchboard. But we're going to lift up Jesus as we get reconnected and give him the praise and resist the devil. And the Bible said he will flee. Resist him and he will flee. And so we're reconnecting to the switchboard for those that are connected with us on today. And so we want to say we thank God for you holding forth and holding on and being encouraging. We're going to bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall be continually to be in our mouth. He said, give thanks unto the Lord in everything, not thanking him for the technical difficulty, but we thanking him as our place of our total victory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And we lift up the Savior, because he is the righteous Savior, the Holy One of Israel, and that have all power in his hand. He can do all things but fail. And we thank God for just connecting things and putting things back in order, because he's a God of order. He's a righteous Savior. He's the Holy One of Israel, and we praise his blessed name for the glory of the Father which is in heaven. And he does all things well, and he's doing it well even right now as he's connecting us back to our session and lesson. And we want to talk about, we just talked about, and I'm just going to, while we're doing this, we're just going to rehearse where we've been. We just talked about how many, there's various sources of the enemy coming and attacking the children of God, both visible and invisible, from the front, the back, and the side, and above. And how that David was saying, my fighting daily oppresses me, and my enemy would daily swallow me up. And he began to talk and share about that it's a daily battle. It's a daily onslaught of which the adversary come to attack the children of God. And just like he comes to attack us daily, children of God, you must be sober in your mind daily, looking and watching daily, and being sobered and alert daily, and think, just as the enemy want to attack you, you must be sober in your heart and mind just the same way. And things, because the adversary, he walked to and fro seeking whom he may devour. But as we stay on our post and praying and calling on the name of the Lord, God will bless the children of God. Now let us look a little further as we're connecting back together and things. The scripture said no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. And even as we are preparing and getting things together even right now, we know that this time is not going to prosper. What God wants done, it shall be done, and his people shall and will be blessed no matter what you're going through. I come to tell you the God in which you serve, if you call on Jesus, he will answer prayer. If you call on Jesus, he will help. He will open door. He will make a way out of no way. I come to tell you, I've seen it over and over and over and over again. And the same God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He never changed. And those are the same character that he is building even into individually and yet collectively into the body of Christ, that we will be the same, that we will be faithful unto God and things, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and not allowing the test and trial to have you up one day and down one the next day, in and then out. But he wants to be able to make the children of God to be stable and to be content and to flow into the things of God that's going to bring glory and honor unto him. Now, let us look further here. Now, we talked about the daily fighting. We talked about trusting in God. And let's look further about trusting God. Every person, whether a believer or not an unbeliever, place trust in something. Some people place their trust in money, in their possession, in power or popularity, or in personality and people. Now, the important consideration is not whether we have trust. Rather, the question is, in what and whom do we put our trust? Now, David declared out of his heart, "In God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me." And we find that over in Psalm 56:4, which is our main scripture for today, is in regards about David and him putting his trust in the Lord. He went on further to say, even as a wealthy king, David had access to all he could ever need or wanted materially, but he chose to put his trust in the Lord. And so let's look at some of the things that trusting God will accomplish, at least 7 things when you put your trust in God. And let's take a look at that. God releases God to work. Number 2 is forms a partnership with God, 1 Corinthians 3:9. Number 3, it fixes affiliations. 4, it eliminates fear, 1 John 4:18. Number 5, it establishes security. Number 6, it causes peace. And number 7, it precipitates joy, Psalms 5:11. And so here you have those 7 things as a result of putting your trust in God. Now, 8 verses following the command to trust in God, Psalms 37:3-8, it said, "Do good, delight thyself, commit thy ways, rest in the Lord, wait patiently, cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not." And these are commands that we must do good. We must delight ourselves. We must commit our ways. We must rest in the Lord and wait patiently and stop being angry and cease from anger and forsake wrath and don't fret. Now, let's look further. Praise his word. Psalms 56:4 said, "In God will I praise his word. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word." Psalm 56:10. If we trust God, we will also trust his word, for he is inseparable from his word. Moreover, as we praise God, it is natural for us to praise his word. Praising his words involves praising him, God's goodness and faithfulness and sureness that are established by his word. Now, John 1:1 states, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." John 1:14 states, "And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." C.I. Schofield observed of John 1:5, "In him are embodied all the measure of the divine wisdom and the collected thought of God." Now, Jesus was no less than or no greater than his word, for the word was God himself. Now, a person's word entails their promises. Consequently, to praise God for his word is to praise him for his promises. In Psalm 56:4, the psalmist David wrote, "In God will I praise his word, in God will have I put my trust," where the King James Version has translated, "In God I will praise his word." Praising the promises of God contained in his word is an expression of faith in God. Faith that praises God for his promises before the fulfillment in a person's life possesses the quality of trust that delights God and moves him to act on one's behalf. God faithfully rewards those who praise him and put their full confidence in his word. And so here it is, child of God. God wants us as children of God is to put our faith and our confidence totally in God and in his promises and to praise him. You know, we can daily consider, you know, thanking God. You know, Lord, we thank you for you said you would be our shepherd and we shall not want. And that's something that we can take and praise and put before us and say, God, we thank you because, God, you said that we can put our trust in your promises and that you said that you will do it. And so we praise you because you are our shepherd. We praise you because you are our way out of no way. We praise you, God, that you will make the way, that you will fight our battle, that you will open the door, that you will grant the promotion. Promotion comes from the Lord. And Lord, we thank you for promoting us, God. We thank you for making the way out of no way. We thank you for being a righteous Savior, the Holy One of Israel. We thank you, dear God, because you are Lord alone. You are Lord. And so we can praise God for his promises. Yes, we praise his name. Yes, we praise. But God wants us also to praise and start praising his word and the promises. Even David said, in God will I praise his word. He said it in verse 4. He also said it in verse 10. And in God will I praise his word, and in the Lord will I praise his word. And so as we begin to look at that word, and many times, sometimes when we read the word of the Lord, God sometimes give us a rhema word. And sometimes he will just open that thing up and things. And as he give us that rhema word, what we should begin to do as children of God is begin to praise him for that word and thank him for what he has done and is doing in and through our lives as children of God. Now let's look on. He said, let's look at the trouble. He said, they rasped my words daily. Whether it was good or bad to do so, there is a human tendency for an individual to cite a litany of their trouble whenever he can find someone to listen. Where is the individual who, when making conversation with other, can resist the temptation to share their troubles and burden other with their problem? As someone once said, misery loves company. Moreover, it is true that everyone needs someone with whom that they can share their hurts, their troubles, and disappointment. There are times when a person needs to vent their anger and frustration. David vented one of his frustration when he penned Psalm 56 and 5. Every day they wrestle with my word. And a person might tend to think having others twist their words would not be nearly as painful as having others physically twist their arms or leg. But those who have experienced the twisting of their words by an enemy have experienced pain that the heart remembered long after the pain subsided from a strained limb. Now, David's hurt caused him to list many erroneous things others were saying about him. They are constantly against me. A person does not usually enjoy opposition. It is unpleasant to know that someone is against us. Therefore, it is not uncommon. It is not uncommon or strange for David to mention that he had enemies. Moreover, Jesus said, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you." Luke 6:26. If we walk righteously, we will face opposition from some people. David observed not only the fact that he had enemies, but also that they were working against him continually. Whatever pressure that they were exerting against him, their opposition were regular and ongoing. To live victoriously, believers must be aware of the constant threats of the enemy. Satan and his agents take no holidays, and they do not rest. And we must constantly be on guard against the enemy. They conspire and plot ambush, Psalm 56:6. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. It was not enough that David's enemy were against him. They were together and against him. An enemy acting alone can do much harm, but enemies acting together produce a great opposition, and David witnesses such conspiracies against him. King David hated David. King Saul hated David and was very jealous of him. And Saul attempted personally to kill David, but he also brought his armies against him. See 1 Samuel 23, verses 8, and chapter 24, and verse 2. David also had to deal with the fact that sometime his enemy did not confront him openly. David had to exercise caution and be alert because his enemy often lurked in the shadow. Creating an ambush is an ancient method of warfare. Catching one's enemy unaware is one of the main objectives of any military campaign. Saul was a skilled military strategist, and he knew he needed to surprise David. Believers should learn a lesson from David's struggle with Saul. They also must be aware of their enemies. Satan, who always is lurking in the shadow, waiting to pounce on them suddenly. But God has equipped believers with many weapons to defeat the sly tactics of the devil. We do not need to fear. We need only to be alert to his subtle and deceptive attack against our soul. Let's look at another point. God knows all about it. Any person in the depths of despair from overwhelming troubles long for someone to understand their plot. Pastors and counselors know that it is therapeutic to those who are suffering for them to be able to talk about their trouble. Even in the absence of a clear solution, the hurting person feels better if they know the counselor is listening with empathy and understanding. No one understands our needs or trouble like God. He is omniscient and knows all about us, including all of our hurts. Moreover, he is also most qualified and able to alleviate the problem, for he is omnipotent, possessing all power in heaven and in earth. And we should take all of our trouble to him in prayer. Hebrews 4 at 15 states, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all point tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He knows them. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thy anger cast down the people, O God. Psalms 56 and 7. Although David's enemy gathered themselves together and hid themselves, God knew exactly who they were, where they were. His omniscient and omnipresent are both brought to bear, for the presence everywhere gives him the all knowledge about everything. Obadiah 4 states, though thou hast exalted thyself as an eagle, thou hast set thy nest among the stars. Thence will I bring thee down, said the Lord. Amos 9, verses 1 through 2. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Though they digged into hell, thence shall my hand take them, though they climb up to heaven, hence will I bring them down. Amos 9, verses 1 through 2. It is important for us that God knows who our enemies are. That knowledge encourages us that he will understand our trouble and act on our behalf. He will help us in our times of trouble. God's knowledge of his people as they yield their lives to him means salvation to them. But God's knowledge of the enemy of his people shall one day means judgment and damnation to them. Now, he knows us. Not only does he know them who are fighting against the children of God, he knows us as well. Psalms 56 and 8. Thou tellest my wandering, and put thou my tears into a bottle. Are they not in thy book? David obviously felt that it was important that God knows our enemies, but he also knew the value of God knowing knowledge of him. How could God take care of us if he did not know us? But his intimate knowledge of us empowered him to care for us. What a joy to realize that he knows us. When David wrote, "Thou tellest my wandering," he was expressing his confidence that God had intimate knowledge of his wandering. Wherever he went, whatever he suffered, God was fully aware of his state. He saw David as his struggle and was helping him through his struggle. And so it was that God knew our path and will help us through our difficult time. And we must recognize that God knows where you're at right now. He knows what's fighting up against you. He knows the enemies of your soul. He knows everything. He knows about the Hittite, Jebusite, Gerasites, and every site that's coming up against you, the enemy of your soul. He knows them. And what Amos has said, that he that fleeth of them shall not flee away, but he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, then shall my hand take them. Though they climb high up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And so that scripture in itself let us know that God knows about our enemy. God's going to fight the enemy. God's going to work it out on our behalf. And good is coming out of your situation. And so whatever you find yourself dealing with, I want you to begin to declare good is coming. And so every time a bad report come up against you, I just want you to start hollering, good is coming. Good is coming unto me. Because if the enemy's not fighting you or is fighting you that hard, he is fighting you for a reason and a purpose. And one of the reasons so that you will not be in the place where you should be to receive what God has for you. And so I admonish you and encourage you today, hold fast and hold on unto the things of God and hold on to a praise. You know, Sunday, the other Sunday, God gave me a word and I thought it was just so profound. And he said, Helen, tell my people that they must give me something to work with. And things, we must give it to God, something to God, either giving him a praise or giving him thanksgiving. He can work with a praise. He can work with a thanksgiving. And giving them our problem, he can work with our problem. Giving them circumstances and situations, he can work with those things. He can work with the impossible. But what we have to do, we cannot allow fear to grip our faith and paralyze our faith, but resist it. And how do you resist it? What you begin to do, say, you know, I'm not going to fear what man can do unto me. I'm going to trust God. Right there, what you did when you speak that out into the atmosphere, you have made a declaration, and you have released your faith, and you have released God, and what you believe in that God is going to do. And that's key for us as children of God, is to declare, I'm trusting God. I'm trusting that God is going to do it. God is going to work it out. God is going to make a way out of no way. He is my shepherd. I shall not want. The house of God shall not want. And things, we're trusting him and putting our confidence in his word. And not only that, while this trouble is coming, I'm going to praise his word. God, you are awesome deliverer. God, you are my refuge. God, you are my high tower. God, you are a very present help in a time of need. And I worship you because of who you are. And when you begin to worship God, you begin to release the power of God. He said that he's able to do abundantly above all, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh within you. And if you have that Holy Ghost speaking in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord giveth utterance down on the inside of you, when you begin to praise, you begin to release that supernatural power, that supernatural strength of God to strengthen you until he bring it to pass, and to release a praise that you can trust your God, that God will do it right in the midst of the face of the adversary. When the adversary said, can't be done, Watch God do it on behalf of his people. Oh, child of God, I just feel the quickening power of God moving right there. And so Psalm 56 and 9 say, when I cried unto thee, then shall my enemy turn back. This I know, for God is for me. God is on your side. He is for you. In spite of the trouble that David went through, he knew when he cried out to God that God would intervene for him. As lonely as he felt, especially when King Saul was pursuing him, he knew that God was with him and for him. And you may have a King Saul or a Saul that is pursuing after you and things and fighting up against you. I come to tell you, God is on your side today, child of God. And you must know it without a shadow of a doubt. Now, this knowledge and faith gave David the courage he needed to sustain him and to give him the victory. And that's what's going to sustain you, child of God, is the confidence of knowing that God is on your side and that God is and will work things out according to his good plan and purpose on your behalf. There is no challenge so difficult, no problem so terrible that God would not help us overcome if we will only call on him. There is no greater word of encouragement than those of the Apostle Paul to the Christians at Rome. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8 and verse 31. Now let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 1 through 4. It said, when thou goest out to battle against thy enemy and seest horses and chariot and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee. When thou brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and it shall be when ye go come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel. Ye approach this day unto the battle against your enemy. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and be not troubled. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemy to save you. I come to tell somebody today that God is with you. I come to tell somebody, don't fear in your heart. Be not afraid. This is the priest of the Lord and speaking into your life. Don't even let your heart faint. Don't fear. Don't even tremble. And don't be terrified because of them or whatever you're facing even in your life today. And think, for the Lord your God is he that is going to be with you. He's going to fight for you and fight against your enemies. And he's going to save you from that condition or that circumstance. And see, when we think about salvation, you know, there's a salvation and means deliverance. God is going to deliver, and he have a plan of salvation for us to be born again, but he have salvation for us daily where he's saving us from circumstances and situations that come up in our lives and trouble. And so we must trust him as never before and obey him, because he that will come shall come, and he will not tarry. And so what do you believe in God to do on your behalf? Now let's look at praise God anyway, even as it was even for this lesson on today, on the numerous of time we recognize and we experience being disconnected from our session or our show or the internet. And in between that time, I resisted frustration and not allow it to encompass or embottle or even emerge out of me. I wanted to sit in a place of praise. And such as it is, when you find yourself even being frustrated as a child of God, we must learn to exercise the discipline of patience and waiting on God in praise, still yet moving forward, doing the things that we need to do, but in a realm of praise and praise unto him. So it is noteworthy that David concluded Psalm 56 with words of praise. In three of the last verses of the psalm, David used the word praise three times. He had discovered that victory begins and ends with praise. These three times that David used the word praise, he said, I will praise. David was determined to praise the Lord regardless of his situation. He praised the Lord before the battle. He praised the Lord during the battle. And he praised the Lord after the battle. Now, let us take note. He praised it before the battle. He praised him during the battle. And he praised him after the battle. And such is what God wants us to do, is to praise God during the battle, before the battle, and even after the battle. And so being in a constant praise and a constant worship unto the Lord our God. Yes, I know many things are happening all throughout the land, looking at the news and looking even at the reading even a newspaper or even listening to the news, it can be just so troubling. But you have to learn how to put yourself in the place of praise and giving God the praise and giving him the worship. Worshiping him for sending help. Worshiping God for deliverance. Worshiping God for who he is, that he is still yet able. And things. Let's look at Psalm 56 and verse 13. It said, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. And that's where he praised him for the past victory. David knew the key to the future victory was remembering and rejoicing over what God had done in the past. Rejoicing in what God has done encourages faith in what he will do. David could enumerate many past victories. God had delivered him on numerous occasions. David never forgot it. When he went against the giant and Goliath, he said to King Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smoked him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smoked him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. 1 Samuel verses chapter 17, verses 34 to verse 36. Trusting him also for the future victories and deliverance. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Psalm 56 and 13. It was not difficult for David to trust God to deliver him. He knew what he had done before, and he was able to do it again. David knew that God never changes, and he's still the same today. Malachi said, chapter 3 and 6 said, for I am the Lord, I change not. Let's look at our last point for today. Trust him to keep us. Every person experiences difficulty whether or not he chooses to serve the Lord. No one is exempt from trouble. Man is born of a woman, is of a few days and full of trouble. Job 14 and 1. We will experience trouble either with or without God's help. But trouble is much more bearable when we serve the Lord and he have his constant presence and assistance. We are presently experiencing turmoil and confusion in our world. Many people are fearful, wondering if we are indeed entering the end time spoken of the Bible, the book of Daniel and Revelation. Some people speculate whether the church will be caught up to meet the Lord before the tribulation or if the people will suffer through the troubled time. If we truly trust God to keep us, however, it really doesn't matter what happens. We can trust God to care for us through any and every circumstances of during the tribulation or even during the time of the rapture of being caught up. And I believe that we are going to be caught up after scripture and the Bible said in things out of the tribulation and before the tribulation will actually fully come. Now let's look here. King David was a mighty king of Israel, who God chose to be the leader of his people. He was a man after God's own heart. God used him mightily and was always with him. But this did not keep David from going through many battles and having many troubles. In Psalm 56, David enumerated some of his trouble. Many enemies, using different tactics, tried daily to swallow him up. He complained that their thoughts were against him and that they twisted his words. But David did not just give us a list of his complaints. Although King Saul was hunting him to kill him, David was the anointed of the Lord to succeed Saul. David carefully wrote that in his fear, he trusted in the Lord who was able to keep him safe. David stated that God counted his journey and kept track of his tears and putting them in the bottle and recorded them in his own book. As God knew always of David's situation, so he knows of our condition as well, and he will care for us. Although we may have trouble, God is always with us to help us and to deliver us. May we never fail to trust God in the time of our trouble. And so it behooves us as children of God is to put our trust and to put our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this message is for the children of God that calls on his name, that given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You must trust God in the time of trouble as never before, and calling on the name of the Lord. In Psalm 56, it says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for a man will swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. My enemies will daily swallow me up, for they are many that fight against me, O thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust thee." And so here David was declaring that, hey, when I get afraid, I'm trusting God. In God I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what man and flesh can do unto me. Every day they rasp my words, and all their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. They wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? And in thy anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wandering. Put thou my tears into the bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemy turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vow are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, and will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. And so here David was making his declaration. And in my closing, I want to encourage you, take Psalm 56 and begin to read it if you find yourself in trouble and find yourself in a battle. Begin to read unto the Lord our God what he is saying and things, and what even David had said when he found himself in trouble, that he trusted in the Lord our God. And such as it is, we will not put our trust in man, but we're going to trust God, that God will deliver our soul from death and will not deliver our feet and will deliver our feet from falling. So be encouraged, child of God. Hold fast and hold on. Keep a praise on your lips. Keep a thank you, Jesus, in your heart. No matter what goes on, you look to the hill from which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth, and he will not suffer your foot to be moved. Again, the scripture said he that keepeth Israel will not sleep, nor will he slumber. And such as it is with your circumstances, he will not sleep, nor will he slumber in things when it comes to you. And so be encouraged as never before that God will do it on your behalf. And I want to, before we leave this air, I want to pray for all of my listeners, those that will receive, and those have a heart to receive this prayer. Father, we come right now and we bind the forces of darkness. We bind every attack that come against your children, even right now. And Satan, the Lord God, will rebuke you off of the finances of God's people, off of their health, off of their relationship and future. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, we say, Father, Lord, our trust is in you, in your promises and in your word, and we will worship and praise your word, Father, to the glory of the Father which is in heaven. We're excited about you and what you have done in and through the lives of your people. We love you with the everlasting love and say, God, you're glorious and you're a wonderful Savior, the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. And we love you, Lord, with the everlasting love. And we ask, dear God, that you bless those that will be listening even on today and strengthen them, undergird them, fortify them, and bless them, Lord. Let their heart not trouble. Let them not faint in days of adversity, but let them hold fast as never before unto your unchanging hand. And Father, we give unto you every circumstance. We give unto you every problem and every challenges that come up unto against the children of God. We render it over into your capable hands and says that you are able and we will not fear, but resist the devil and he will flee, God. And Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We give you glory today and we give you honor. And so on today, like I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. May God bless you until we meet again. I know God is going to bless you. I just feel a blessing, and you expect the blessing because God is going to greatly bless you as never before. Until we meet again, bye-bye.